I think we'll pause right there, and we'll give Sarah a chance to jump in here, and we'll let you give your version of that, and whatever else you'd like to add.
Hi. Okay. Well, Fatima was absolutely correct that my experience of that journey when we left Ram Dass and in New Hampshire, when we were confirmed sannyasins in the sense of being taking on this Hindu path. I think in my case, I probably had a past history in India because it's become a place close to my heart, but I just, you know, hook, line, and sinker, it was all me, and we only wore white, and we only spoke in the present, as Fatima said. So if we're driving across the country, and I'd say, I think we should get gas, and the next time, and Shabda being a Virgo, and we were all very young and hadn't had the benefit of the development of spiritual development training and personality that we got later from Hazrat Naik Khan's teachings. So he would just say, future, and we would come back to the bus, and we wouldn't, we were no longer, could I listen to Beatles record. All we'd listen to was Sri Ram, Jai Ram chants or sang them in the bus. And also we were celibate, and so there was no juicy anything. And so that was, all of it was sort of, after 3 months in this Volkswagen van that we decorated in the typical way of the time with Indian print bedspreads and pictures of all the holy saints of India and so on and so forth, we eventually got to San Francisco. And Shabda had asked me when we were in New Hampshire via chalkboards, because we would voluntarily take vows of silence and wear these little chalkboards around our neck. And when we needed to say anything, we used a very few words to do so. And he had written, come to California with me and meet this, I thought the word he wrote was Snoopy teacher. I didn't know what a Snoopy teacher was, but I said, sure, because that's how we were in our 20s. Let's just go. And we had to leave because it was going to snow, and we were living in tents in New Hampshire. So there we are. We finally get to Murshid's door. And, you know, if you know the mentor garden, it's you go through the door and you look up the stairs where the living quarters are. And the door was opened, clicked open, and we went in. And up at the top of the stairs was a plump person, and Shabda, then called Peter, said to me, that's, I thought he said roly-poly, but it was actually wally-ally. And I look at this guy, and he says, I'll go get Murshid. And then this little old man comes to the top of the stairs, and he's standing there. And you have to understand, I had the disadvantage of having a preconception of what a holy man looked like. We've been with Ram Dass, who at that time wore long robes from India, and he had a long beard. He looked like an old world patriarch prophet. And when you would meet each other in New Hampshire on the path, you'd stop. You'd put your hands together in pranam. This was all new in 1969. You know, it wasn't common to use the word namaste, but we would bow to each other and say namaste and keep our eyes locked until we sort of melted into this whatever it was that we thought was some sort of bliss. Well, meanwhile, fast forward to San Francisco, and here's this disheveled-looking little old man. I remember he had on a kind of smoking sweater, they used to call it. Not that he smoked, but it just was a style, cardigan style for men. And it was unevenly buttoned. And then I looked at his feet, and he had two different color socks on, and I'm going, who is this? And he didn't say namaste. He just said, come on upstairs. I'm busy. I'll be with you soon. Go sit in the front room. And I'm saying, what kind? This is not a very holy person. And Shabda and I go sit in the front room, and we can hear him dictating a letter to Roly Poly Akka Wally Ollie in the back room, and he's dictating a letter about politics. Now, we'd been studying Hinduism, and Ramakrishna was sort of my first my first deity saint connection to that world, and I, you know, loved and read everything in the Gospel of Ramakrishna. It was sort of my Bible at that time. And Ramakrishna said, you know, holy people don't touch money, women, or politics. And here was this funny little old man dictating a letter about politics. And in my youthful ignorance and arrogance, I was saying, this isn't a real teacher. And I'm beginning to get a little pissed at Shubda, saying, you drove me, you know, I thought this. I didn't say it out loud because I was very nice in the outer outside. But in those days, my insides and outsides didn't match all the time. And I was thinking, you dragged me all the way across the country to meet this fraud? And then Murshid came into the front room, and he starts jabbering away about this and that, and in a very fiery and abrupt way. And then all of a sudden he locked eyes with me, and he said, and sometimes I know right away, I know at the first glance. And he looked at me, and I was thinking, oh, no, you're not going to get me into this weird cult. And so this went on. He invited us for dinner, and, you know, we sat down at dinner, and whatever was being served, he put ketchup on it. And ketchup was not a sattvic food from a Hindu point of view. It was a rajasic food. So another, you know, piece of fodder for the canon of my judging mind. So then he says, you can stay for the dances. And we go down into this basement, which in that time was really a basement garage. It was not transformed the way it is now so beautifully. And it had a tie-dyes on the wall. And in the room, as Shubda and I were sitting there, began to waft in these beautiful California hippies. We were from the East Coast, and it was a kind of different beatnik vibe to the hippie thing that hadn't totally flowered in my world anyway. And they all seemed to have long blonde hair, male and female. I know they didn't really, but it sort of felt that way. And they had these great energy fields, and I'm going, wow, what are all these people doing with this fake? Don't they know he's not the real thing? Because I knew the real thing. I'd been with Ram Dass. And then Murshid came in, and he first had us sing Ram Nam. And he did it in a form quite different than the way we used to do it at Ram Dass's, where we would sing kirtan at night, and we had this wonderful person named Jeff who would lead the singing, who has since become Krishna Das, one of the most beautiful kirtanwalas in the country, and you hear him in every yoga class in America now. But anyway, that was then. But Murshid Sam was not going Shri Ram Jai Ram. Instead he went Om 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 Shri Ram Shri Ram Shri Ram Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Ram. And I was continuing to feel, oh, my gosh, he doesn't even know how to chant right. And then he got us all up. That first part was done sitting down in groups. And he started a snake dance. And it was an Allah snake dance. And we're holding hands and just going, Allah, 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 Allah. And all of a sudden, the room turned into pure light. And my heart was like a divine explosion had occurred into it of such magnitude of love that there are no words that could describe what happened to me then, except to say that tears of bliss were running down my cheeks. And I could see about six people in front of me, this little old man going, Allah, Allah, Allah. And I knew I would follow this little old man for the rest of my life. And that never changed. So that was my first experience, and it was in that moment of the dances. And for some reason, when I was making prayer and meditation before this talk tonight, what should I talk about? I want to just share one other story, which is when I had the good fortune to live in Murshid's house while Ali was living there, and I was, and a couple of other, two other women. And I was quite shy, and I thought I should ask Murshid for a mantra because that's what you're supposed to do, right? We're all young at all of this. And so I finally got up my courage. Murshid was in the kitchen. He was making dinner. He loved to cook. And I walked in and I said, Murshid, in a very soft voice. And he said in his one of his monosyllables, yeah, or something, you know, one of those sort of gruff things, which by now I had come to love with my whole heart. I said, could I have a mantra? And he looked up at me and he said, can't you see I'm chopping carrots? And he, with that I call my first mindfulness practice from Murshid. He did consequently give me an English mantra, but that moment was so purely present moment Murshid, so that the teachings would come through everyday life experiences. And there was one more at the Mentor Garden, since you've been asking and people talking about the early walks. I think Wally Ali or Shabda said, probably Wally Ali because he was living there, Murshid would get up earlier than any of us, and about 6 a.m. he would take a walk. We didn't yet know the benefits of early rising for one's spiritual practice. But I once asked him if I could walk with him the next morning, and he said yes. And so I made the huge effort to be up at 5:30 and ready to go at 6. And we walked out. It was kind of the morning, pre-dawn into dawn time, the magic time. And here we are in Prasita Park, which was a kind of scuzzy part of San Francisco in those days. And he started walking down one street after another, and just allowing, I was just walking next to him, and we walked in silence. So what I'm now going to say may have been made up through my own heart stream, but it felt that I could sense what mantra he was doing. He walked, and his head, in the kind of mercury walk, would go side by side, but it was slower. It didn't have the speed of mercury, and it had such, and I just, it was as though he was enveloping everything that he looked at in the morning blessings. And then I just felt, Errahman, Errahim, Errahman, Errahim, Errahman, Errahim. And I had the deep feeling he was just bringing his daily prayer of blessings, of mercy and compassions to everyone in that area of San Francisco.
That's beautiful. Thank you.
You're welcome.